Welcome to the Claudio Relsano Show on ClaudioRelsano.com. Brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. Claudio will be speaking to sports legends from the 70s, 80s, and 90s about their careers, business, and what they're doing now. He will also hold roundtable discussions with some old friends about trending topics in the world of sports. And now, here's Claudio.
Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Claudio Relsano Show. Happy New Year to everybody. As always, I want to thank Rick Mitchell for the introductions. Thank my great producer, Adam Zaloof, and thank all of my sponsors, our sponsors, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, and we have a brand new sponsor by Tim Mazur, who operates Dreher Physical Therapy Institute. So thank all of the sponsors for sure. Very, very lucky to interview my very favorite, most favorite hockey player in Pittsburgh. We definitely have a lot of great hockey history with Mario Lemieux and Sidney Crosby and Yager. But for me, my favorite guy was and still is and always will be our guest today, and that's Pierre LaRouche. Pierre, thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure, Claudio. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, first, let's talk about the young boy, Pierre. Tell us about growing up in is that how you pronounce it? Taschereau, Quebec, Canada.
Correct. I got that right. Yes, sir, you did. it seems like yesterday. I was born in a little town. It's about 800 people in Taschereau, Quebec, and we lived there for about a year. Then we moved to the big town called Amos, about 40 miles away. That was like 4,000 people, so that was a big step for us, I guess, as a family. And my love for hockey started when I was really young, around 3-4 years old. I started skating, and it was my love from the get-go and the dream to play in the NHL, and I got to accomplish that, so that was pretty neat.
Now, when did you know that that's what you wanted to do, was to be in the NHL?
Well, I think it's like anybody else in my hometown, that we all grew up together. We skated outside every day, and we all had inspiration to make it to the NHL. All of us did. Luckily for me, I made it. I was one of the lucky ones.
Now, your parents, so tell us a little bit about your parents and their thoughts about you, your dreams, and wanting to be in the NHL.
Well, I was a baby at 10, so they were very busy. But you know, they didn't push you. We're just like I said, as we are a bunch of friends, and every day we went out and skated. And I guess that, like anybody else, and whatever you do at the time when you're young, you dream to make it to the top level. And you know, they brought me skating anytime I could. We'd go on vacation, you know, with my parents to go visit their parents. I would bring my skates, and I was five, six years old, and I would skate outside on the rink. I skated as much as I could, and it was always my dream. And you never know you're going to make it till you get the call from the team. It was Pittsburgh for me in the NHL in 1974. That was drafted, so it was a great moment.
Now, when you were growing up and you had your dreams about being in the NHL, sometimes, you know, you have people that aren't so supportive, people who were maybe say it wasn't going to happen. Did you have that kind of negativity surrounding you? And if you did, how did you handle it?
Well, I think there's always people that will never believe that you're capable of doing it. You know, the naysayers are everywhere, but I never really paid attention to it because I was concerned about, you know, doing what I was doing. And at the time, in my hometown, such a small town, I don't think there was much of a pushback as far as, like, you know, is he going to make it or not? You just, personally, I knew I was going to make it because that's what you have to have, your mindset, you know. You got to leave home early. I left home at 13 years old to go play and a juvenile and then junior hockey. So my dream started when I was 13 years old when I left home, and there's a lot of sacrifice to be made. But everybody that knows that if you want to accomplish your goals, sometimes you have to make some great sacrifice. So I was one of them. But there was never really a pushback as far as like, you know, is he going to make it or not? You just keep playing and see what happens.
Good. Well, that's always good to hear, because you hear, I know for me personally, there was always, not for my parents, as everybody who listens to the show, my parents were fantastically supportive with my dreams of working in professional baseball, but a lot of other people were not, and it was tough. And I'm always curious to see people, when they have achieved what they've achieved, if they had negativity surrounding them. But what would you say your obstacles were, if any, going from beginning to when you first made it to the Penguins?
Well, the thing was that you had to leave home, because where I grew up, we were like 400 miles northwest of Montreal. So our caliber of hockey at a certain point was weak. So, like I said, at 13 years old, I got the call to go play a juvenile hockey at 14 years old and till 16. And 16, I wanted to play junior hockey for a couple of years before I got drafted by Pittsburgh. So the sacrifice of the arrogant, you know, you have to make a decision. You're going to leave home at 13 years old. It's, it's pretty shock to the system that you wind up
sure is.
You know, living with somebody you don't know. And like I said, those sacrifices have to be made. And it was not always, you know, great. There's this moment you have to decide what you're going to do. You're going to go to the wall and then keep plugging away, or just go home and call it a quit. So
right.
I know there's a lot of friend of mine that I played with juvenile and junior hockey at one point, you know, made the decision it was too hard, or they didn't feel like they're going to make it, and they stopped playing.
Sure. Now, growing up, who were your favorite players? Who was your biggest inspiration?
Well, for me, it was Stan Mikita. He played for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Sure.
I really liked the way he played, and he was my idol. And again, I got to play against him, and I got to meet him. I played golf with him. And how many people can say that they got to meet and play, you know, against and golf with their hero when
sure. They
were growing up? So I always enjoy Stan. He passed away this year, and that was a big
right. Loss
for the hockey world, but for me, as a personal friend, so it was a big loss, because I really liked him a lot.
Sure. And I'm sure he appreciated your feelings towards him as well. Now, you had a great amateur career. Who were some of the players, that some teammates that you had coming through, and some of the coaches that you played with and for?
Well, really, the first time that I realized where I was going as far as my hockey career was Mark Caron was my coach when I was 14 years old. And I think he was really the one that kind of like, hey, you know, you're going to go there, you might as well start paying attention. So on Saturday night, he would bring me to his house and watch hockey. And he would tell me, like, pay attention to this, because that's where you're going. And I'm 14 years old, and you're like, you know, your mind is not really – you know, okay,
right.
I get it, and I like it, but he was the coach that really, really made me realize what kind of talent I had and what I had to do to get where I was going. And went to junior hockey with Marc Defoy, coached my last year in junior. He was really helpful, too, a really nice man. My teammates in junior hockey were great. Right winger was Jacques Cassette, the guy from I grew up about 40 miles away from me that I played juvenile hockey. And Michel Desiel, that I met Michel when we got to junior hockey in Sorel, were my line mates. They were great players. And, you know, it's very difficult to have success if you're not surrounded by great players.
Sure. Now, when you were drafted in 1974, number one by the Pens, 8 overall, where were you when you got the call, and what were your feelings that you got drafted by the Pittsburgh Penguins?
Well, I was playing golf with my friends, and I got the call. It came off the golf course. Mr. Buello was the coach of the Penguins, and U8, and all of a sudden you realize, well, your dream is not done yet, because you don't know if you're going to make, you know, you're going to be able to play. But being drafted, obviously, was a big step, and I thank him so much, and then I went back and finished my round of golf.
Okay. Simple as that, right? It's not
yep.
as big to do that it is today with the TV coverage and the cameras in your face. So I guess it was a little bit different back then.
Oh, yeah. We didn't get together in the place when they announce the draft and you sat in the stands with your parents and went on this podium with the sweater and all that. That's pretty neat. But in my days, no, they just got a call, say, hey, we draft you eight, da da da, and we'll see you at training camp.
And that's now, were you, obviously you were excited, but like you said, there was a little bit of worry that now, okay, you got the draft part out of the way. Now you had to make the team. Did you expect to get drafted that high?
Yeah. I was hoping to be in the first round for sure. You know, we had a great season. And when I was 18 in junior, that was my second year. I was 18 years old. And my goal is always, you know, you have to have confidence in yourself.
Sure.
I kind of like, I was going to make the team. Yeah. That's how I approached it. I was going to make the team and play.
Good, good. Okay, well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, and our new sponsor, Dreher Physical Therapy Institute, led by Tim Mazur. We will be right back with hockey legend and my favorite hockey player, Pierre LaRouche. The Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, giving you superior allergy care for over 20 years. Located in Dubois, Pennsylvania, please call us for all your hearing and allergy needs at 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
Aspire Pediatric Therapy in locations Moon Township, Pennsylvania at 993 Broadhead Road, Suite 10, and Banksville at 2893 Banksville Road, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, North Hills area, Pines Plaza Shopping Center, 1130 Perry Highway, Suite 120, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and the Punxsutawney area, 1464 North Main Street, Suite 14, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, and the city of Pittsburgh in the north side, 1301 Beaver Avenue, Suite 10, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And remember to check out their website for all of their information at aspirepediatrictherapy.com. Dr. Brandon Roscoe at Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC. Call Dr. Roscoe at 814-503-8070. Great guy, somebody who I've had a great opportunity to meet, and I appreciate him and his sponsorship. And again, somebody you should definitely look into in his practice. Dr. Brandon Roscoe, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, 814-503-8070. Okay, Pierre, now you said that obviously you were looking at your records. You set so many records, and the tagline is the youngest too, the youngest ever. So obviously you started off very early, but tell us about joining the 1974-75 team, being that age with some veterans. How were you treated, and how did you, transformation from amateur to pro? How did that all work for you?
Well, you know, I was still 18 years old, so you think you know everything, and and you put your foot in your mouth a few times while you do an interview, because I didn't speak the language till I got here. And you know, you're 18 years old and you're starting your public life already, and you're in the NHL, so you don't realize sometimes it's stupid thing you say would go everywhere, or stupid, you know, you didn't have the polish that the veteran would have and how to deal with the press and all that stuff. Now mm-hmm. they teach the kid how to do it. So in my days, they didn't. It was like I said, I came here and I didn't speak the language. So it was, I was pretty lucky that John Pronovo was here. Jean-Guy Lagasse was a defenseman, a French-Canadian too. And Mario Faubert played here. Dennis Herron was our goaltender. So I did have some some help on that side because you're on the ice, you didn't know what's going on. And Pronovo would always tell me, just I'll go first and watch what I'm doing. Mark Boileau was also a French-Canadian. He helped, but still, you have to speak, you know, English. You can't go around speaking French when people don't understand what you're saying. So
right.
That was very helpful. But it was, you know, hockey was what, you know, was my life, so that I could drown myself into playing hockey. Not, you know, you're away from everybody. You come to a different country, different language, different culture. And, you know, you're 18 years old, and sometimes you kind of forget you're young, and you just, you know, like I said, you say some stupid thing, and you go, wow. You know, when you look back, you go, I wish I wouldn't have said that. But at the moment, that's what it is. You're here, and you want to play the league, and, you know, you have almost a cocky attitude, confidence, whatever you want to call it, but that's the only way you're going to make it. You have to come here with confidence and show what you can do.
Well, you certainly had a great season that year, 74-75, scoring 31 goals and having 68 points. Now, obviously, unfortunately, fortunately, you guys had a very good team, and you made it to the playoffs and the Rangers series. You guys were up 3-0 in the quarterfinals. Tell us about that experience. I mean, that had to be a very tough thing, knowing that you guys were up 3-0 and ready to advance, and then things happened the way they did.
Well, it happened since then too. The people did lose a 3-0 lead. You think it's over? You go 3-0, and everybody's kind of like, all right, you know, we're going to beat them and move on. And all of a sudden, you lose the one game, and that's okay. We're still up 3-1, and next thing you know, you're tied at 3, and you're playing a 7-game in Pittsburgh. And I remember hitting a couple posts, dead on post, and we lost 1-0. And at the time, I didn't realize that, you know, nobody since like the Toronto Maple Leaf, I think, in the early 40s or 50s, lost a 3-0 lead. But I was very, very disappointed because we had a really good team, and it happens. You know, you see it done. The Red Sox did to the Yankees, and it happened.
Sure.
It was just disappointed that, you know, that had happened to us. So you move on, and you hope it doesn't happen again.
Now, you had some great seasons with the Penguins. As I said, you had 68 points that year, and 75-76, 111 points, 63 and 76-77. And then, unfortunately, at least for your fans, you were traded to Montreal. Now, were you excited to go back home? What were your thoughts about that trade?
Well, I think at the moment, at the time, the Penguins, I think, were starting to show financial problems. And I was on some bonuses, and I guess they couldn't come up with the money. And I was called in by Baz Bastien, and he told me that Montreal wanted me. And I had to waive my no-trade contract. And pretty much like, you know, you're going if you want to go. So I said yes. And it was after that, the Penguins struggled for a while till Mario showed up. But, I mean, you go to Montreal where you know, you grew up watching them, and that's all you knew about hockey was the Montreal Canadiens. And I lived, like I said, we're 400 miles northwest of Montreal, so we would get a little bit of the game on Saturday night, and we all watched it. And that's, you know, like I said, it was all our dream. And next thing I know, I'm playing with Montreal, and it was very demanding because they always, you know, asked for excellence because they won so many Stanley Cups, so you had to be, you know, if you won the cup that year, everybody loved you. And if you didn't, well, they looked at you sideways. So it was great to be there because I got to have my name on the cup a couple times. I played with, you know, a tremendous team and with so many great players. And but again, there was a lot of hard work put in because you don't accomplish stuff like that by not doing the hard work.
Was it a little more pressure because of where you were from? Was the expectations higher, or did you put more pressure on yourself playing with the Canadians because, as you said, they were, what, about 40 miles from where you grew up?
No, it was pressure every day. We had like 40, 50 reporters at every practice, so every day was important. You were judged, you know, almost on every day. And then, like I said, if you didn't win the Stanley Cup in Montreal, no matter where you finish in the standing, if you didn't lose any game, if you didn't win the cup, there was not a successful season. So as far as that is concerned, you know what the end goal was, is to win the cup. And like I said, I was very fortunate to play with them and with the great team we had and to win a couple of Stanley Cup. But yeah, it was pressure every day. The demand was to win. And so there was a lot of pressure.
Sure. Sure. It'll be pressure, obviously, no matter where you go. But I mean, I thought maybe there might be a little bit more because of, again, where you were from, the expectations. But you certainly had some great seasons there and a huge part of their winning the cup.
Yeah, that was great. There was a lot of demand. There was a lot of pressure. Yeah, there was a lot of pressure. A lot more than anywhere else I played after that. So, like I said, their end goal was to win the Stanley Cup, and that was it. There was nothing else that it would be satisfying to the crowd. So,
Sure. Okay, well, we're going to be right back with Pierre LaRouche after our sponsors, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, and our new sponsor, Dreher Physical Therapy Institute. We will be right back with Pierre LaRouche. The Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, giving you superior allergy care for over 20 years. Located in Dubois, Pennsylvania, please call us for all your hearing and allergy needs at 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
Dr. Brandon Roscoe at Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC. Call Dr. Roscoe at 814-503-8070. Great guy, somebody who I've had a great opportunity to meet, and I appreciate him and his sponsorship. And again, somebody you should definitely look into in his practice. Dr. Brandon Roscoe, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, 814-503-8070. Okay, Pierre, now, again, you had a great run in Montreal, two Stanley Cups, and then you went to the Hartford Whalers. Tell us for a couple of years. Tell us about your experiences and times in Hartford.
Well, it was, different, obviously. The go from Montreal to Hartford was a big difference where Hartford was a smaller town, and their hockey was started after the World Hockey. They joined the NHL, so there was no history as far as winning and stuff. So it was different. But again, you get to play with some great guys, and it's in the NHL, so you just go and put your sweater on and go play. And I enjoyed it there. So like I said, you enjoy anywhere you want because that's your life is playing hockey. So you could have been anywhere playing hockey. As long as you played, that was your out. That was the way that you could focus on something and not worry about anything else. So the time on the ice and the games and being with the guys, that's what it was all about.
Now in 83, 84, it was your first year with the New York Rangers. With your personality, the package of Pierre LaRouche going to New York, that had to be a great opportunity for you. I mean, I think that you were a perfect fit for that city and for that team. How were your days and years with the New York Rangers?
Well, when I played with Montreal, my right wing was Guy Lafleur at the end, and we used to talk about that, where else would you like to play if you have to move somewhere? And we always thought that New York would be a great place, and I got there in 83, and Guy came in 88 or 89, to play New York. It's a big city. It's this entertainment city of the world. And the beauty of New York, there's so much stuff going on that you could, there was almost one day at a time because the next day there's always something else. They had, three football teams and three hockey teams, Jersey and us and the Islanders and baseball, the Mets and the Yankees. So there was always something going on in New York. So at the moment that day, you played, that was that, but the next day there was always something. But I loved the city. Really enjoyed playing with the Rangers. It was great. And again, you meet other guys, but it was pretty special.
Now, again, you had some big seasons with the Rangers, and but in 87-88, your last season in the NHL, tell us what happened there. I mean, you got off to a nice start, and you got injured, and you know, tell us about that situation.
Yeah, I tore my labrum in my hip. In those days, hip injuries, it was like they didn't know what to do with it, I guess. And my career ended. Like, I played only 10 games, and it was pretty painful for a long time. And thank God that when I came back to Pittsburgh in 95, Mario had a hip problem, and he went to see Dr. Philippon, who was an expert in hip surgeries, and I wound up getting my hip fixed. And, you know, the pain went away, but I wound up having two surgeries and other stuff wrong with my stomach because I kept playing, and I ripped up my half of my wall of my stomach, so they had to put a mesh wow. there and redo the hip surgery, and at least the pain was gone. So, again, that's something like, you know, it was very disappointing because you don't get to make the call that, you know, that's it, I'm done, I'm going to retire, that's my last year. That was taken away from me by injury, and that was it. I couldn't play anymore. I had, you know, probably 3-4 years left. I think that I felt that I could play, but again, you're not in charge of that sometimes. And for me, that was it. I had my hip, and that was done.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. How many years were you looking to play? You said 3 or 4 more years. I mean, you were still a young man, so you probably really could have had even more, unfortunately, that happened.
Yeah, well, again, it's like you never know what happened. Life is always full of surprises, sure. as you know, and that was my script. That was, you know, you don't know at the time, but you realize that was my script, and that's what it is. So you just, you know, but it was very disappointing because I was still young, and there was some, you know, team goals that were not accomplished still, and personal stuff, and so. But again, that was it, and you move on.
Right, right. Well, on that, we are going to take another commercial break from our sponsors, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. We will be right back with Pierre LaRouche. The Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, giving you superior allergy care for over 20 years. Located in Dubois, Pennsylvania, please call us for all your hearing and allergy needs at 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has 3 convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at AspirePediatricTherapy.com.
Dr. Brandon Roscoe at Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC. Call Dr. Roscoe at 814-503-8070. Great guy, somebody who I've had a great opportunity to meet, and I appreciate him and his sponsorship. And again, somebody you should definitely look into in his practice. Dr. Brandon Roscoe, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, 814-503-8070. Okay, we are back with Pierre LaRouche. Pierre, obviously your career ended abruptly. As Chuck Knoll used to say, players have to get on with their life's work. What was your game plan in moving on to your next life? You were still a very young man. And unfortunately, again, things happened quickly, but what was your game plan for the rest of your life?
Well, like I said, after I finished, I got hurt. Phil Esposito kept me around the team for another year. So I kind of like, you know, got used to not be part of the team, not playing. So you have to change everything, my routine and all that. I used to, after I got hurt, some like the next year, you'd be like, your body clock would say, hey, it's September, get ready for camp and stuff like that. So it was pretty wild to see that some days of like I would feel like I had to take a nap for a game, but I was not playing anymore. So you know, I left hockey after that, and I got some friend of mine that owned an insurance company. So I passed my test, and I did some work for him, but and that's something I enjoyed. I enjoyed it. It was great, but I didn't see that becoming my life. And we moved back to Pittsburgh in 95. And at the time, we had a celebrity tour, so I played some golf a little bit. And Mario bought a team in 99, and I've been with him since.
Now, you mentioned coming back to Pittsburgh. Now, I believe your wife is from Pittsburgh, correct?
Yeah, she was from Dormont.
Okay. So tell us about Pittsburgh and your thoughts about Pittsburgh compared to the other cities that you played in, and why you like it here so much.
Well, that's why I started my career. And Pittsburgh, it's great. People are friendly. It's a great place to live. I always enjoyed it. I always had a place here. We always came back in the summertime. So it's kind of like, you know, was my home from the get-go. And you know, like anything in life, sometimes you don't realize it. That's where you're going to end up living. But Pittsburgh, I always liked Pittsburgh. I had some great friends here, still do. I really enjoy the city. It's a great town, great people.
Sure. And I tell you, everybody loves you. Every time I see you at one of the golf tournaments, people come around you, and that's great to see. Now, you talked about your golf career. You had some big-time success on the celebrity tour. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that's the one thing that you don't expect to happen. And that was great because I got to meet so many great stars and people from other, you know, aspect of life, sport, entertainment, or whatever. So we did that for about 10, 12 years, and we play like 10 events a year. So you travel all over the country. It was like almost like a second life, really exciting to get the blood flowing again, to be
sure,
you know, to be under the gun, to play golf. So, and I got to meet so many great people. So, I really enjoyed it. And I still play a lot of golf. I enjoyed it. I like the outdoor. I like the competition. I like the whole thing about golf. So, and that was a great time. Really enjoyed it.
Well, as I said, I met you not on the pro celebrity tour, but the, some of the celebrity events that we're invited to. And, I notice how people gravitate to you, and the thing that everybody says about you is, man, he can hit a ball. He still looks like he can play, and how nice you are to everybody. And I've always appreciated that. And you were always nice to me. And like I said, everybody enjoys having you, at the events, for sure. Now, have you ever stepped back and looked at your career, Pierre, and said, or look at your trophy room at home and say, you know, wow, look how far I've come in my life, both personally and professionally.
Well, it's like I said, you know, you're 5 years old and your dream is to play the NHL. And not only that, I got to play the NHL, but I played 14 years of it. So again, I'm asked what's my greatest moment or my greatest accomplishment. That was my first game in Minnesota. You know, you dream of it. I never, first professional game I seen, I was part of it. So it was pretty amazing. And then you sometimes I walk in my office and I look and I'm like, wow, it's just been great. I mean, I'm up and I couldn't have, you know, scripted any better than I had. So I'm pretty fortunate, very lucky.
That's great to hear for sure. Now, you mentioned working with the Penguins and Mario Lemieux. Tell us what you do with the Penguins now.
Well, a lot of stuff. I mean, I go to every game and with Mario there, and we discuss a lot of stuff with, what's going on. And I've been friends with him and his family for a long, long time. And I do some public relations. I do other stuff. Again, I got to meet a lot of great people. And the one thing that's more interesting in all that is that I got to see both sides of the world of hockey. The player and the business side, and it's very different, and at the same time, really enjoyable to see, you know, when you played, what was going on. Now that you don't play anymore, but you're on that side of it, looking at it. So, I'm very thankful to Mario that you know, invited me to be part of the team in 1999, and it's been great. I mean, as you know, we won three Stanley Cups since. Mario purchased the team, and with him winning two more as a player, he's got five championships. So it's been great to watch, you know, see all the players we had, and the reaction that the city has for our hockey team is tremendous.
Well, it's definitely a huge hockey town, and where I live in Swickley, they call Swickley the second home of the Penguins. So you know everybody's all fired up here about the Penguins.
Yep.
How has the game changed since you started your career and to where it's at now? And do you like where it's going?
Well, yeah. I mean, there was a lot of when I broke in the league in '74. There was a lot of fighting and a lot of that stuff going on that was part of the game then. That they really changed a lot now. What changed the most is taking the red line off at center ice, where it's not part of the play when the puck is dropped. Changed the game a lot. Now there's less skating with the puck because you have so much more room to move it, so it's a lot easier to move the puck from behind your net to the blue line on the other side than coming back. And in our days, we had to come back and get the puck because the red line give you a two-line pass, so you have to be all, you know, on this side of the red line. Now without red line, it's a lot more of a long pass and tipping it and chasing the puck and try to put some pressure on the other team. We don't see as much rush that with the puck that me watching, you know, growing up watching NHL and playing in it, where guys would go behind the net like Mario would do, or Pirro or Lafleur or whatever, and they would come and take the puck and the rush would start that way. In those days they skated with the puck. There was a lot more stick handle than it is today, but they really changed the game for the better. I think they took a lot of that stupid hitting behind, you know, and the fighting out of the game, so you get to see the skilled players and you get better entertainment for sure.
Now, how do you think your game would have differed, or would you have scored more goals today? What are your thoughts on that? Do you ever say to yourself, man, I wish I was playing today?
I never said I wish I was playing today because it's so different. I mean, I don't know what I would do or not do. Different era, different players. The equipment is different. Goaltenders have bigger equipment, so I don't know what I would have done. We don't know that. But, again, you sure you want to play because that was the great thing, is to be with the guys and the traveling and the practice. And it's become almost your family because you spend more time with the team than you really do at home. So,
sure.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's what you miss the most, to be with the boys and you know, and have the life of a hockey player in the NHL. It's great.
Now, talk about this year's team. They started off slow, and obviously they went on a big tear, and they're right back in the thick of things. So talk about this year's Penguin team.
Well, you know, when you still have, like, four, maybe five of the best players in the league on your team every year, you got Sid that leads the way. I mean, he loves the game so much, and I think he kind of, like, lead by example. And I see that in practice and games and stuff. And so, again, we have a great team, great goaltending. Every year the expectation is to win. And the guys know that. Mike Sullivan, the coaching staff, just tremendous. And you got Mario and Ron Burkle that do everything possible to make sure that the team has the best chance to win. And that's what they want to do, is win every year. So we're lucky to have ownership like that, that wants to win and do everything to win, and then the players that we have that make it possible. So, you know, in Pittsburgh, you look back at it, and since 84 when Mario came in and Jagr, and I don't want to forget any names, and you look at the team we had and the Stanley Cup and stuff. So Mario's been a winner. Ronnie Burkle in his business is a winner, so that's what they like, success, and that's what we try to do with the team every year.
Now, before we go into our last segment, our lightning round segment, one more question that I started this show because I wanted people to listen to such legends as yourself, and people see the baby, but they don't see the labor pains. They don't see how hard you work. They don't see the obstacles that you guys or all of us in life have to overcome. But when you look back at your life, what were some of the obstacles that you had to overcome, be it professionally, personally, that you would like to share with our listening audience? And what did you do to overcome those obstacles?
Well, I really called them obstacles. It was challenges. You know, to leave home at 13, to come to a city in the United States at 18 years old without speaking the language, those were all challenges. Do you want to go? Do you want to make it? You know? And the answer to me was always yes. So all the challenges I had to face, that kind of like, you know, just all right, that's part of life. We all face challenges in any facet of life, to sickness or success or whatever. There's always something every day that, you know, you have to make decision on. Do you do the right thing or the wrong thing? You want to accomplish your goal? You want to do it? You want to quit? You want to go home? And I guess that you make decision. And I was fortunate that I was very skillful, and I played with some great players and kind of like accomplish what I want to accomplish as a player in the NHL. So I was one of the lucky ones. But there was a lot of challenges, and you just, you know, keep plugging away.
Great, great. You know what? One more thing before we go into the lightning round after our commercial break. You started your career, as we said, in 74-75, and I mentioned several times how the fans gravitate to you, and you're still extremely popular after all these years. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, that has to feel good that after all these years, people still love Pierre LaRouche.
Oh, it's tremendous. I couldn't ask for any better. It's an amazing life I had. I still have. So many people that played sport as a youngster that accomplished their dream. And I was, like I said, I was one of the lucky ones. I did accomplish my dream to play in the NHL and met some great people. And I've been very fortunate, very lucky.
That's great. That's great to hear. Okay, we're going to take our last break and listen to a note from our sponsors, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. We will be right back with our lightning round question brought to you by Dreher Physical Therapy Institute, back with Pierre LaRouche. The Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, giving you superior allergy care for over 20 years. Located in Dubois, Pennsylvania, please call us for all your hearing and allergy needs at 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
Dr. Brandon Roscoe at Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC. Call Dr. Roscoe at 814-503-8070. Great guy, somebody who I've had a great opportunity to meet, and I appreciate him and his sponsorship. And again, somebody you should definitely look into in his practice. Dr. Brandon Roscoe, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, 814-503-8070. Okay, Pierre, our lightning round question brought to you by Dreher Physical Therapy Institute. Greatest player ever?
Bobby Orr.
Oh, Bobby Orr. Okay, I thought you were going to say something else.
Well, I'm talking about my days when I started. Obviously, Gilles Fleur, Mario, and all that. But for when I started, what I saw, obviously, you know, I mean, you look at the numbers speak for themselves. But you know, obviously, Mario was one of the great, if not the greatest player. But to me, at the time, Bobby Orr was.
Okay. Favorite thing about Pittsburgh?
Everything. everything.
All right. Favorite restaurant in Pittsburgh?
Capital Grill.
Okay, I've been there. It is good. Very good pork chops.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Besides golf and hockey, what are your other passions in life? What do you like to do?
Oh, good question. What do I like to do? I still like to watch hockey and go to hockey game, but pretty much, you know, every day is great. Golf is great. And that's a good one. Eating spaghetti.
All right.
I don't know.
Eating spaghetti. Okay, now we're talking. being Italian, you know I like spaghetti. And finally, what are your goals now professionally and personally in life?
Professionally, I think I accomplished pretty much what I wanted to. So that side of it is taken care of. Personally, it's just to be able to continue my life the way it is and, you know, try to do the right thing and try to help as much as I can in our society, mostly in Pittsburgh, that, you know, do a lot of, Meyer's got a great foundation and there's a lot of good stuff to be done still and try to help as much as I can.
Well, you know, that's the other thing. You know, you're involved in a lot of charities. Really, for years, you've been so great with a number of charities. What are some of the ones you mentioned, the Lemieux Foundation? What are some of the other ones? And obviously, the golf tournaments that we participate in are for great causes. But what are some of the charities that you're heavily involved in?
Well, for 25 years, when I lived in New York, we had a golf tournament for the prevention of child abuse. That's the one thing that I'm really involved with. If anything related to children, try to help the one that need help. And, you know, the children are the one who can't help themselves. So we have to help them as much as we can. I did Make a Wish, Mother's Hope, you know, many, many, many charity involved with children, diabetes and all that stuff. So
sure.
I feel like that was part of my calling to try to help children as much as I can.
That's very nice. I love that. Well, Pierre, I cannot tell you what a thrill it is for me. You know, you talk about having dreams come true and things like that. And I look back at things in my life and I'm just so grateful that things have gone the way they have. And having this show on top of the baseball work that I do and interviewing people that you looked up to and look up to and watched as a kid and now. And as I said, we've played on the same, some golf tournaments together, and to have you on my show is a thrill and a half. I cannot thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the show and look forward to seeing you this year at some golf tournaments. And just thank you so much. Thank you for your kindness. I really appreciate it.
Claudio, my pleasure. Thank you so much. Wishing you all the best in baseball and your radio show and looking forward to see you next year.
All right, brother. Thank you so much. Thank you, Pierre. Appreciate
that. My pleasure, Claudio. You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, everybody. Well, that was a big-time thrill for me. It's always a thrill to interview all the guys. Are you still on? So I was going to say nice things about you, even though I thought you left. But that's
no, I've not left yet, but thank you so much.
All right, brother. Thank you. Thank you.
Take care.
I know you guys. Thank you. Bye-bye. When I announced that Pierre was going to be on the show, I know a lot of people couldn't wait to hear the interview. And the interview will be up on my website at ClaudioRelsano.com this coming Thursday evening. You can also listen to it on Stitcher, iTunes, and Spotify. As always, I want to thank Rick Mitchell, who's also a big fan of Pierre LaRouche. Thank Adam, my producer. Thank all of my sponsors. I really, really appreciate the belief the sponsors have in this show and in me. And that is Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. The Roscoe family is an incredible family. Greg, Brandon, and Mr. Roscoe, the father, a very successful family, great people. Mrs. Roscoe, a fantastic lady as well. I had a great opportunity to meet her a couple of weeks ago. Again, the show, we have great guests. So we've had some great guests on. We have a lot more coming up in 2019. We have some authors coming up. As I mentioned before, Bob Backlund, Vince Papale, some big-time Hall of Fame boxers are coming on. We're also going to have some friends of mine on doing a roundtable talking about some Hall of Fames and the topics of today, as we always do. And, of course, we'll have Jim Frazier and Luther on. That's always a popular show. So, again, thank all of you for listening. I really appreciate it. You can subscribe to the show. Send me some emails and let me know what you think. I appreciate you listening. And as always, Thank you, Mom and Pop. Thank all of you, and Happy New Year to all of you. Hope it's a great year for you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. Be sure to tune in next time on ClaudioRossano.com.